My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
We're brought to you by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. Yahoo Sports, NFL Network, Nate Tice with us. All right, scheme trends defensively.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll see what twist that Joe Witt Jr. has as he's the DC. We know Dan Quinn is going to have a huge influence. But what are we seeing in the league? And then how does kind of the principles of what those guys do fit with what we think is working right now in the NFL?
You drafted a slot that matches what everyone else is doing right now. And oh my God, this is another one I've been correct on. Mike Sainristil.
Sainristil.
Oh, God damn. But okay. See, I get so good with these names in April for the draft. And then they just
say your old colleague Brugler, that draft, the beast, the draft guide. That is where my go to. If I need a name pronunciation, just go in. Dane's got it all.
Dane's the best. And that is it really is a godsend. But he is a trend in himself. What the guys that used to be tweeners, maybe they're not this. He's a do-it-all slot. And those guys that can blitz, can play man coverage, can just fit up in the run, even if they're not the biggest players in the world. That is a trend. Like, everybody has to have a slot now because, one, your main plays are going to be out of sub-personnel, nickel and dime. So you need a fifth DB. And that fifth DB is going to be involved in a lot of plays. Probably going against this Washington offense, tackling bubbles and fitting up in the run and all these types of looks. So him in itself is a trend. And I would say, there's over 20 of these guys that are either first, second, or third years in the league that are the slots because this is what's happening in college right now. That's a fun position to watch. I would also say something that Dan Quinn evolved to in Dallas is becoming a trend, which is he was a Seattle guy. Cover one, cover three. That's all they did. A couple blitzes. Then he gets to Dallas and it's cover one, but then a lot of cover two and a lot of mix up and a lot of like funky looks out of cover two, different guys in different spots, different X's on the chalkboard moving in different spots, but still getting the cover two. Some call that non-traditional two. I've been calling them unconventional two because I just want to use the acronym U2. And I think seriously, man, I get bored in my office. I'm like, yeah, that works. U2. And that's, I think is again, proliferating throughout the league. That is a lot of people using funky looks and then getting to cover two, which is a safer coverage. That's coverage that makes quarterbacks work. So because they have to, to beat cover two, you either have to check it down over the middle of the field or push it on digs and benders and corners and big boy throws. So if you bring a funky simulated look, which is rushing four, but looking like a blitz or bringing a blitz or looking like you're bringing like a blitz and making the quarterback hold on to the ball that extra second, gets a pass rush home. Dan Quinn's already had that in his bag for the last couple of years in Dallas. And I think there's been some misconception that's like, oh, they ran man coverage every play because they're lazy. And there's some wildness to Dan Quinn's game, but he also was doing some really cool stuff with the cover two stuff. So whoever, I know he's going to have some influence on the plays, but I think that whoever's calling plays with Joe Witt and everything is that they're going to be running that, because that's what I think a lot of teams are going to be leaning into a lot more this year, especially. So it's like, it's cover two is back, zone runs are back, or not zone run, duo is back. Like those plays, which is 2002 football, is back.
It's so cyclical.
It's tight ends. It's like, yeah, baby.
Which makes sense because like the league does something, you react. Now there's a new weakness to exploit. Offenses change. Defenses are like, oh, well, now we got to cover that. And eventually it just works its way in a circle of like, oh, we need bigger players, smaller players. And or we got to prevent, you know, we're playing cover two. Okay, well, now the holes are here. We're going to play some more three and one and, you know, trap and all these kinds of things. And the one thing that I will say, speaking of your old colleagues, Mays's interview with McVay was so good and so insightful. And Sean kind of verbalized something that I think has become the modus operandi of the league, which is explosives are king. Offensively, everything we're trying to do is figure out how to manufacture explosive plays. And defensively, we could play well on 97% of snaps, but if those 3% are explosive, we're going to lose, and we're going to lose by a lot. And so I think that part of this is those safer coverages, those two looks, you know, whether it's two, whether it's quarters, deeper stuff down the field to prevent explosives is exactly that. Everyone's just trying to prevent explosives, and offensively, they're trying to figure out how can we get explosives. And some of the times it's in the run game too. Like, let's use these tight ends in creative ways to see if we can get someone on the second level, get that second block, and launch someone into the third level of the defense. You know, these skilled running backs that we got, because there's too many of them in the league. But that, to me, like, it all, like, the principle at the center of all of this that is clearer than it's ever been is generate explosives offensively, prevent them defensively, and how you do that is going to change based off what the other one is doing.
He's with New Mexico now. Rocky Long? No, Bronco. No, not Rocky
Bronco
Long.
Bronco Mendenhall?
Thank you. Yeah, Virginia. Yes. So obviously you have experience in the area around him. He did a clinic years ago, and Paul, this is all hearsay for me, so I might be butchering it, but Paul Crist, who's a big mentor for me, relayed this, and he said, they think it's a win if you go to the spot they want you to, meaning the weakness of the coverage, meaning the, if it's cover two, that's the check down. Or if it's cover four, that's the 5 to 6 yard areas, like little hitch areas, or the flats, because he's saying, okay, we will let you nickel and dime. And so it's always the zag. Do what they don't want you to do. They don't want you to have explosives. Well, find every freaking way to get explosives. Don't fall into their hands of, okay, nickel and dime.
Basically, don't take what the defense gives you.
Yes, exactly. You want to lean into the punch. You want to do whatever idiom you want to use. You want to do the zag of what they want to do. And actually, that's a whole scheme thing too, is that once something becomes the meta, becomes the major of the entire league, well, then those types of players, that type of scheme becomes, you know, it's a little too much. It becomes saturated. So then, you know, this is the whole Seahawks thing of the 2010s, was how they built the Legion of Boom. Well, we got Richard Sherman with long arms. And he's 6'3", and we got Bobby Wagner, who's too short for a lot of guys, but he had long arms and was fast. Like, you find the money ball of everything. But yeah, same. I think that line of thinking sometimes applies to, yeah, it's judo, I guess. You know, like, if they're trying, you know, throw with them, like, you go against what they're trying to do. But to do that, you have to manufacture it with plays, which is either shot plays or it's a way to create yards after the catch. That's why I'm a big proponent of guys thrown over the middle, is because that's the easiest area for it. Shanahan offenses can manufacture that as well. Or you got to have a dude at quarterback that's willing to launch some stuff. So again, this is why a lot of my thinking with quarterbacks is, it's not the big arm of throwing it 60 yards, 70 yards. It's the arm that can drive it 22 yards on a straight line, on a missile. That's arm strength to me. Anyone can throw a deep ball. So guys like in this class that were all willing to throw benders and stuff, that's why it's like, that's going to be available, but you have to do it. Like, they want you to try and do it because not a lot of quarterbacks are willing to do it. So I don't know what metaphor is perfect for this. I'm going to go with judo. I think judo.
Sure.
Jiu-jitsu?
I don't know.
I live in the capital of MMA, and I should know this way better than I do.
Judo, you're throwing people. Jiu-jitsu, you're like striking people and then trying to choke them.
Yeah, maybe so, JJ. I'd say judo. I'll go with judo.
Okay. It's going with judo.
Kind of leaning with it. Yeah.
The one thing I will say on Jaden and Cliff and kind of where they fit into this, the one thing that I've really enjoyed from the preseason from them is kind of the situational awareness that they seem to have to the game. And that includes on third downs, like, let's get vertical. I hate, like, to your point, right? It's third and 12. Yeah, they're going to give you the 7-yard check down. And sometimes that's what you got to do. And you guys got to live with the kick. But, like, they will try to find the vertical shots on third down, and especially depending on where they are in the area of the field. Like, yes, on a third and 12 at the, let's call it the 40, the plus 40, we want the 7 yards because that's an easier field goal. Like, and Jaden did that, the one opportunity that he had in the preseason. But if you're in punting territory, why not just arm punt on third down? And you can get a PI, that's a first down. You get a completion, that's better. If it's picked off, who cares? If it's incomplete, you're punting anyway. And so one thing that I have liked about that is, like, I think we're going to see once they get into the season, obviously, and they open up the scheme in a way they just didn't in preseason, but we got to see some of in training camp. We'll see how often Jaden throws those benders, those deep in breakers, things like that. But I think he's more capable than perhaps we realized coming out of LSU, because he didn't have to at LSU. But what I do appreciate is that deep ball that they know that he's money on, they're going to make sure that he gets the opportunities. And that's both him, because he's not afraid to throw it, and Cliff situationally. And it's also a chance to generate explosives that are, I don't want to say it's like automatic, we're throwing it no matter what. They're not going to be like, hey, yeah, throw it to Terry in triple coverage. But they know their offensive line is only so good. I'll phrase it that way. And deep balls can get out quickly. And Jaden has the touch and the accuracy to give guys chances on that. And I think situationally they'll set him up. So I am curious to see, one, some of those benders and some of those, like, I dare you two throws. Will Jaden do it? But they will also get vertical and try to create shots in other ways that are tied to his skill set that I'm really excited about to see if that continues in the way that it did in training camp. Because otherwise we have what we had last year, Nate, which was, man, this offense has got a shot. And it turns out it's because they were facing the worst defense in the league every day.
Where it looks great every single day. It's, you know, it's a great point you're bringing up. And this is something I kind of, this is the Knicks argument or argument against Bo Nix, was you have to try. It's the denominator that's so important with these things. It's the Jimmy G deep ball stat. Oh, he's the best deep ball thrower. Yeah, he's only doing it once a game. It's got to be once a quarter. You have to at least threaten the defense. You have to at least put in their head, yeah, he's not going to hit all of them, but shoot, I got to stay back. Safeties now are asked to do more than they ever have, and I'm willing to say that. And now, but that means they have to come up. They have to go back. They have to get deep. They have to, you know, rotate with the different motions and everything. Well, you got to put them in a bind. Like, if they're going to be doing all that, threaten them. And how you threaten them is with the deep ball. That's the classic way. And the other classic way is pounding the frickin' rock. And which is, again, I think this has been misconstrued with the Cliff Kingsbury offense. That's going to be a huge component of this offense and a good component of this offense, even without Jane Daniels. I'm just, even including just a straight run game, is that's what this, the threat of everything else they do with all the spread formations and the speed down the field, is the run game opens up. And Robinson's a good hammerhead for that. Eckler's a nice spell for it. So also Brown and Scary Terry are, like, perfect for that verticalness. Like, they are best as vertical stretchers. So it's, again,
and they bring in Noah Brown, who's hopefully going to get healthy quickly.
Nice dirty work guy.
Yeah.
They got a lot of guys I like. I love Zaccheaus. Like, Jamison Crowder, I still have nightmares from at Duke. I was at Pitt, and he had, oh my God, watch that game. 2013, Duke versus Pitt at Duke.
Watch what Jamison did to you guys.
Jamison Crowder, Tyler Boyd, and Aaron Donald. And we had another receiver had a good game, but that was like, it was a star making performance by everybody. But all these guys, I mean, shoot, Pringle, Luke McCaffrey, every guy you go down on this roster, they are willing to do dirty work too. And that's why I'm, like, pretty excited about the run game. That matters. Like, these guys are willing to, and that's why those bubbles look good too, is because all the guys on the outside are working their asses off. Like, this, that matters. And I people think I'm always joking about that stuff. I'm like, no, like, this stuff adds up. Like, if you want a good run game, these guys got to get dirty, and they're all willing to do it. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. If you want a good running game, and if you want to get explosives in the run game, because it's one thing to get 4 yards, it's another to get that next block, and that's when it unlocks, and all of a sudden a dude's loose in the secondary. And certainly we're hoping to see that in Washington and wherever the burgundy and gold uniforms travel this season. Nate Tice, you don't have to travel to see him. No, he comes to you via your television on the NFL Network, your mobile device, or wherever you listen to your podcast, Football 301 from Yahoo Sports, and of course his articles on Yahoo's website as well. Nate, always appreciate it. Let's try to do this more often. Although we don't have to spend the better part of an hour together every time, unless you want to. If you want to basically work for our radio station, you're more than welcome anytime.
You're like, it's going to be 20 minutes. You can go under if you want to. And I was like, yeah, always bet the over. It's
live from Vegas. Bet the over. Nate Tice, everybody. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.